And Paul would say, don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such ways to get the prize. So he uses that metaphor that our life, our walk with God is like a race. And as with any race, what we always want to finish, Mount Sinai voice. What we always want to finish is heart. And we've been talking about finishing strong. And so today, I want us to think about that concept, having the heart to finish strong. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when I use that term, finish strong. When I started thinking about speaking on that, what came to my mind is that I'm tired a lot. Finishing strong is good for me to think about, because quite frankly, I get tired. And it's not just tiredness of physical things, but sometimes you get tired trying to help the whole world, which, you know, as Christians, we want to be available to help people no matter what, wherever we are. But then something that we can confront at times is something that many service organizations have identified. It's called compassion fatigue, right? You know, it's interesting. If you only can care about one person every now and then, you have all this reservoir of strength and everything to help them, right? But what if you're trying to care about everyone all of the time? Pretty soon, it's like, just take a number, get in line, you know, and I'll do the best I can. And you get tired. Now, let me say at the outset, Jesus came to save the world. Sheridan didn't. You didn't. So that's all of that pressure's on him. But you know what? We still need to care, don't we? We still need to be available. We can't do everything, but man, we look at people and we see people as God's ultimate value. And we realize, I've got to help because of what God's done for me. And so because we care, sometimes we can start getting tired and lose heart. Because you try and help and sometimes people don't want the help, you can start getting tired. Because you find yourself in situations maybe that you wish were different, and it seems like there's just always this resistance for me growing, you start getting tired. And what you become in danger of is losing heart. What happens when you lose heart? You may still go through some motions, but there's no expectancy, there's no effort, there's no yes. It's just, let me just one foot in front of the other and soon it'll all be over. And it's a resignation. And nobody here wants to live a resignated type of life, do we? No. So how do we finish strong? How do we keep our heart? I want us to go to what Jesus said in Matthew, the 6th chapter. And let's look at this. In verse 19, of course, this is his Sermon on the Mount. And if you read it, there's a reason why things are in the order they are in. And he first started off with the Beatitudes, and he's talking about, this is the blessed life. As you experience this, that's what it means to be blessed. And he goes through and he talks about how the righteousness that we are to have is to surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees. Why? Because the righteousness we are to have has to be from the heart and not overt actions only. And he starts to contrast all of that and says, this is the life that I've come to bring. It's a life that we all want. Everyone wants to truly experience God, not just go through motions. We all want that. And so he's talking about that. And this is the life he brings. And he comes into chapter 6, although it wasn't written in chapters and verses. But as he's moving through this flow, he starts talking about, look, don't do things to catch the eye of people. Live for the approval of God. And he uses illustrations of people fasting, giving money, praying, and they're doing it just so people will see, wow, isn't that a spiritual man or a spiritual woman? I'm impressed. He goes, don't do that. Because not only is it ridiculous, it destroys you. Pretty soon, your life is about what people think and not what about God thinks. And you end up all confused and all just aimlessly wandering. And so he's saying all that, and then it brings us to this point. And he says in this point of the sermon, verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your treasure? What do you consider of ultimate value and importance? What do you treasure? Right? When we say we treasure something, we're not saying we kind of like something. We're saying if I say I treasure something, this is of ultimate supreme value. And Jesus is saying, look, Sheridan, don't lay up for yourself treasure. Don't put all your values here in this world. Are things valuable? Sure. But the ultimate value, what I really treasure, has got to be put in heaven. Because if that's true, there's where my heart's going to be. That's why I'm going to finish strong. Because it's not about what I gain or lose in this life. It's about God. It's about what He's doing and me being a part of that. I have a dear friend of mine. And I had talked to recently, not here. We're talking about what God is doing in their lives. And we're talking about this in the wake of them losing their house, having to foreclose on their house. We're talking about this in the wake of a few years back, one of their children who was older and had kids dying of cancer. A parent burying a child. Okay? We're talking about this in light of the fact that before this person really decided to, you know, be a disciple of Jesus and really give it their all, before they were 30, they had earned $1 million. And in this conversation, we're talking about what God is doing in their life. As they found some little apartment somewhere because they lost their house. You know what? I know, unfortunately, too many people that would have cursed God for any one of those three things that happened. And boy, if all of them happened, there is no God. I love football, okay? I love it. I played it in high school 4 years. I cracked my tailbone and broke my leg in football. It was awful what happened to me. I mean, those are two separate instances, all right? But I can still almost hear the snap of the leg when those two defensive tackles, I had hit the line, planted my foot, and my foot cleats were planted, and they both grabbed me, twisted me, put me down. Bing! I could hear it. Now, why did God let that happen to me? There's some people that would ask that question. Why did God let that happen to me? Why didn't God protect me? What's going on? Guess what? I'm the one that decided to play football. Okay? I decided I'm going to put myself in harm's way. That's not a sinful thing, but I better be willing to, you know, accept any consequences that come from that. You know, Satan tempted Jesus when Jesus had been fasting, saying, you know what, if you're Son of God, jump off this temple and the angels will lift you up. And Jesus said, you will not tempt the Lord your God. You know what? God did not make human beings to jump off of temples and everything go okay. God did not make us to fly. Okay? Is it wrong to fly? No. Get on an airplane. But if something happens with the airplane, don't blame God. Okay? We want to do different things. That's okay. But don't blame God. Because I tell you what, God is not, does not put a period after this life. God is trying to redeem this world. Some of us will leave quicker than others. Some of us go out ways, oh, I wish I wasn't going to go out that way. It'd be, hey, it's going to happen. Does that mean that God's left you? No, God's right there. God's walking you through the portal. God's helping you. How do you think Simon Peter must have felt? You know? For 30 years, he lived under a death threat given by the Son of God, saying, Peter, you're going to die a death by which you'll glorify God. Everyone else is thinking, boy, I'd just like to die of old age. I'd just kind of like to die in my sleep. I'd just like to... Hey, that might have happened for... Not for those guys. Maybe John. All of them died martyrs. But Peter knew for sure he was going out. Why did God let that happen? It was okay. God was with him. It's all right. It accomplished something. So, but here's my point. In this world, moth and rust can take anything away. Our health can be taken away, our wealth can be taken away, our hopes, our dreams, our families, our, you name it. You know why? It's a fallen world. And it is not supposed to be the depository of all of our hopes and our dreams. We're to love this life and love being here, but don't put an anchor here. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. Look, your treasure has got to be locked and loaded in heaven. Put it on deposit there, and then you're free to enjoy this life. And if something happens and you cry your heart out and you're heartbroken, you are not shattered. But if everything is here in this life, you are a catastrophe waiting to happen. You're a catastrophe waiting. You are vulnerable. It can happen. God makes us different, not always a situation different. And that's something we have to remember here. So how do we get this heart to finish strong? I've got to make sure my treasure, that which I treasure, is in heaven and not here. And once it's there, I'm free to even love valuable things here, like people. But I don't have to wait for people to think something about me to love them, right? I'm free. I'm free. Because here's where my treasure is. So today, two decisions, two choices I want to set before us. You want to keep your heart to the end? You want to finish strong, keep your heart in it? Then you got to put your treasure in heaven. That's what you've got to treasure. That means you got to make two decisions. Decision number one, contentment or consumption? What do you want? Contentment or consumption? Look over at Matthew, the 11th chapter. Now, what do I mean by contentment or consumption? Well, contentment is that where I'm okay no matter what. I'm okay. You know what? Did my friend think it was great that at one time he had made all this money and now he didn't have any? That at one time his child was alive, now it wasn't? That at one time he had a house, now... Was he just going, isn't this a great... No, he wasn't! It hurt! It was painful! It was... But you know what? In the midst of all of it, he was content because he was with God. His child was with God. Older child was with God. And everything's working out, and God is there. So he had a peace. There's a contentment, even though, wow, I don't like that that happened, but God is God. I love him. That's the contentment. And once that contentment is in heaven and not waiting, boy, I just hope my marriage is the way it needs to be. I hope my family's the way it needs to be. I hope my job's the way it needs to be. I hope my health is the way it... I hope that law and order is the way it... I hope the politics... I hope... Oh, my goodness. We're a catastrophe waiting to happen. Contentment. Consumption, that's being a consumer. People approach God that way. What can I get out of God? What can I get out of the church? The church exists for me. Why aren't people nicer? Why do we sing that song? Why do we sing that song? What are we here for? You want to sing a song? Tell John. John, hey, I'd love to sing a song, all right? He may make you stand up and sing it, but nonetheless, but say, hey, can we sing? That's fine, that's okay. But I'm just talking about this. It's easy to be critical, isn't it? I can tear down anything. I can do that. It's easy. I mean, hey, if you have a problem being critical, there are probably some things I say to you at times give you a lot of reason to be critical. So it's easy. It's the building something that's challenging, right? So consumption is just, what can I get off of God? What can I get out of the church? What can I get? What can I get? What can I get? And of course, that is famous here in the United States. Go to the church of your choice. So who's the bottom line? Me. And God, you just bless whatever I choose. There we go. American Christianity in a nutshell. So today, choose contentment or consumption. Look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11. I hope all this is making sense.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense to me, but that doesn't always translate to others. Verse 28. Listen to what Jesus says to us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I will find rest for my soul in Jesus. You know what? I love how he put it that way. The soul is our entire being. It is us, what makes us unique. He's not just giving me rest for my body. You know, you can get rest for your body. There's some people that sleep hours on end a day, and the reason they sleep is they're running away from something. It's the way that their depression takes.
Yeah.
They're not at rest.
Yeah.
But yet, physically, their body is, right? There's some people that, you know, they just can't be content because they're always in pursuit. Their life is never enough. I don't have enough. My wife or my husband is not enough. My kids are not enough. My job is not enough. Enough, enough, enough. And don't get me wrong, I think you ought to be ambitious and, you know, go as far as you can in your career. I hope everyone does. I hope I'm sitting in front of a bunch of presidents and CEOs of the corporations. Because I'm going to come after you for foreign missions, all right? So, you know, I want you guys to do that, okay? No, but there's nothing wrong. You've been given talent and ability. Take it to the limit. That's why God gave it to you. But do it for His glory. Do it for His cause. Do it for His working. Why? Because that's what you treasure. God Himself and God's working there. Jesus says, come to me, Sheridan. Come to me. I tried to break this down. How do I make this practical? And that's part of my problem. I'm trying to make something practical that is an individual experience. So all I can say to you is what I'm doing. I first came to Jesus 43 years ago. I still come to Jesus every day and need to. Because that's my choice. Do I want to be content, or do I want my life to be in pursuit of things here? Maybe even a reputation. Maybe it's not material, but you just want a reputation. You want to be famous. You want to be acknowledged. Some people do that. That's just whatever it is. But I'm content. Because you know what? I'm learning of Him. I don't only come to Him. I come to Him so that I can learn from Him. I'm changing. He's teaching me. Here's what's really important. Here's what it's going to be like to be with me forever one day in the new heavens and earth. But here's how you can be and experience that life right now. He's teaching me all the time. Here's how you can forgive. Here's how you can live a life and not worry and be anxious. Here's how you do that. You see, I've got to be taught that. I can't come up with that on my own. I've messed that up. My best thinking got me in trouble. But that's where the contentment is. Because I don't need anything. Paul would say later in 1 Timothy 6, if we have food and clothing, we're content. That's Paul saying, hey, as far as the physical stuff, a little food, a little clothing, we're good to go, man. What do you mean, Paul? There's so much. You need an education. You need this. You need... Not really. Those are good. Those are fine. Get them. Get what's offered. But need? What I just need is God. I need to be with Jesus. I need to let Him teach me. And He created me as a physical being, so He'll take care, give me food and clothing. Amen. I got that. Now let me get to what's really meaningful. What my purpose is, I mean, these are the things that as I grow in this, I am content. I need nothing else. And because I need nothing else, I can enjoy anything that comes my way. And if I lose it, all right, rats. Yeah, it was fun while it lasted. But my life isn't hanging in the balance. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You see, here's what happens when we don't choose this contentment come to Him. We go after consumption. And when you do that, the consequences are on you. You made a choice. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. As Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower, notice what He says about the thorny soil. It says in verse 18, still others like seed sown among the thorns hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word. Have you ever seen someone who's happy, who has the worries of this life on them, who has been suckered in by the deceitfulness of wealth, who is just always desiring other things? That's not a happy person. That person is discontent. And sometimes they end up malcontent. And what's the problem? They're on their own. They made a choice. Life is not in Christ. Life is in something else. So now they got to worry. You know why? Because moth, rust, and thieves are now you're vulnerable. I'm going to work hard and build this, and all of a sudden you get diagnosed with something. What happened? All my... The worries of this life. You know what? I can't wait. I am so glad I got my retirement thing, and then we have a 2008 or 2009. 401ks went to 201ks, as the joke was, you know? People lost. I mean, it was unbelievable the amount of money, the Ponzi schemes. You know, all of these things that people lost. You know what? It happened. There are people, unfortunately, in the church that loan money to people without talking. They should have gotten some advice because people couldn't account for these. And we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars they lost. You know, moth, rust, and thieves, worries, you're on your own. Well, God, you need to help me. God is trying to, but you got to come to Jesus. You got to learn from Jesus. You got to accept what He thinks is important, valuable, worthy, all of that. Do that. You can end up like Martha, who's running around, busy. But Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're busy about many things. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. That's where we need to be. Does this mean you shouldn't work hard? No, you work hard, but do it for God's glory. Does this mean you shouldn't desire to have a house? No, desire to have a house, but use it for God's glory. Does this mean you should never take a vacation? No, take a vacation, but get recreated so you can serve God's glory and be in His kingdom. That's what we're talking about. Everything else, you're going to worry about because you're on your own. You brought those things in, you're on your own. I don't play football anymore. I played brothers football, I resigned. No, that's too nice of a word. I flat out quit, man. When I was 40-some years old, because we're running on the kickoff down, and some guy got blocked into me as I'm running, and fortunately it was muddy that day, my cleat, and this guy hit me from the side. Took me out, I went up in the air, boom. That didn't bother me. What bothered me is if it hadn't been muddy, that cleat would have been there, my knee would have been broken right in half. And I thought, I'm 40 some years old. This is stupid. This is ridiculous, man. I know I shouldn't use that word, but let me just, for Sheridan Wright, and that's it, it's stupid, okay? But you know, when I make a choice like that, I've got to be willing to have the consequences, right? What do we worry about? Desires for other things? Are you insatiable? Are you just always disgruntled or unhappy because you aren't where you are? Can you not just be with the Lord and enjoy the ride and grow? Can you not do that? Be content. You know, deceitfulness of wealth, how much money are you going to need? How much? What are you going to need till finally you are content? Because I guarantee you, the more you get, the more you got to protect. And the more you got to protect, the more anxiety and worry you bring into your life. Am I against money? No, like I said, I want you guys to be all CEOs. I want you to give millions to the, you know, ministry of God and helping the poor. So I'm all for that. But see, that's the way you've got to be. Don't find all of your contentment or any of your contentment in that. It won't work. And time does not give me the luxury of going through all the examples on that. Okay, so first decision, you know, I want to keep my heart so I can finish strong, so my treasure, because where my treasure is, there's where my heart's going to be. I choose contentment, not consumption. That's the choice. Contentment with Jesus, and that's where my heart's going to be. My treasure is, that's what I'm going to treasure, so my heart will follow that, and I'll be strong to the end. Second decision, character or comfort? What do you want, character or comfort? In Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 3, I'm going to start in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Paul says we rejoice in our sufferings. You know how to define suffering? It varies. It really does. You got to define it according to yourself. And you know what sufferings are according to you? It's not what you think suffering is. Oftentimes we go, I'll suffer for you, Christ. And we come up with our own idea. It's usually something entirely different that really is suffering. We like to say, this would be suffering. No, that'd just be an inconvenience to you because you already know you could handle that. We're talking about, wow, man, I can't do this. This is hard. This is impossible. I'm in it over my head. I can't get it back. And Paul says, now, I want you to rejoice. You want to finish strong? You let your treasure be in heaven where God looks at all this. The reason we suffer, we live in a fallen world. We're trying to live a godly life in an ungodly world. You know, the people who don't struggle are prisoners of war. The battle's over for them. They're captured. They're blown. They lost. So no suffering here. You just got to give in. Just be like anybody else. Don't stand for Him. Don't pursue Him. All that. Be like anyone. It will be a lot easier. It'll be comfortable. It'll be empty, but it'll be comfortable. But if you dare to say, I follow Christ, there will be suffering. And what will that suffering produce? Character. And what is character? It's the inside. It's the real deal. It's not acting like a Christian. It's being a Christian. It's being Christ-like in any and every situation. I cannot be that way unless I go through suffering. Unless I go through a hardship that all of a sudden causes me to say, Sheridan, you can't do it. Back out of the way. God, help me. Open my heart. And now I've got to persevere. I've got to not run away, but stand in the gap and continue to pray. Continue to hope against all hope. Romans 4:4. And what does that do? Character. It allows me to be the person God wants me to be and not just act like a religious Christian person. You can read James 1, verse 2. He says, consider pure joy when we go through trials of various kinds. Or go to 1 Peter 1, right around verses 7 or 8, you know, and he talks about, you know, we've suffered grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold, will be proved genuine. Isn't that what you and I want? I don't want to sit there and open my Bible and pray and not really believe. I don't think anyone's on the other end of this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I made a commitment. No! We want a genuine faith where we interact with the true, the real, the living God who undergirds all of reality, from whom all reality comes. But reality begins in the spiritual and gives expression in the physical. People that just hang in the physical, what they can see, that's all they get. The roots are gone. But if in the spiritual, we desire character, that's what I want to be, then you know what? That lasts forever. That is a treasure, and that's where our heart's going to be. I want to close in 2 Peter. They both have the same first name. 2 Peter, sometime just go back and do, and if you've done this before, you know it's amazing. You do a character study of Simon Peter. He's probably almost one of the favorite Bible character of anybody because we all relate to him. I mean, it's like Peter kind of makes one mistake after another. He even denies Christ. Just says, I don't know the guy. Three times. It wasn't a slip up. It was a full-blown apostasy. I'm out of here. And yet, he comes back, he's forgiven, and he keeps going. We love that. I love that. Gives me so much hope. Well, he's at the end of his life here. He's about ready to meet the death that was said going to happen to him about 30 years previously. And so when you read 2 Peter, there's an urgency there. The urgency is not, oh no, what's going to happen to me? Because he says, the Lord says it's going to happen. The urgency is, I want you guys to remember. I want you guys to stand strong. I want you guys to carry on. That's all he's urgent about. Do whatever they want to me. I want you guys. Here's the baton. Go for it. And when it came to character, we see a character that had been refined through suffering, through hardship, but one that Peter said, you know, it's worth it because my treasure's in heaven. And he never lost his heart. And here's what he's saying. We don't have time to read the whole third chapter, but, you know, it's talking about all the scoffers. Well, Jesus coming, where is he? We hadn't seen him. And Peter says in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought Sheridan to be? Sheridan ought to live holy and godly life as he looks forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destructions of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, Sheridan and everyone here is looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. I choose character because in light of what's going to happen at the end of time, that's all that's going to matter. That's what Peter says. If this is how things are going to happen, if this is the end of this stage, this heaven, this earth, and there'll be a new heaven, then what type of person ought we to be? What type of character should I have? The choice is character or comfort. Anybody can give in and go with the flow. Jesus called us to take a stand and follow Him and let God build the character. This is who we ought to be, not only do. Two decisions here. Two decisions. What will it be? You know, are we going to go for the contentment and then decide to go for the character? Or do we go for the consumerism and go for the comfort? The thing about it is it's really an easy choice. But it just takes a person deciding that's worth it. That is my treasure. I want to give that to God. And when we do that, our heart follows. And when our heart follows, we end up finishing strong. Let's pray.